Now, I want to talk for a few minutes here, and I've got just a few, to talk about how is the Father a Father? Because the next 2 weeks, we're going to talk about God the Father. Tom Smale has a book entitled The Forgotten Father, and that's kind of who he is. Everybody wants to talk about Jesus. Everybody wants to talk about the Holy Spirit. My question was, how is the Father a Father? That's for us folks. If you want it theological language, the question is eternal generation a thing? What do we mean by that? Well, here's your definition. Eternal generation. It's a term used to describe Jesus as the eternal Son of the eternal Father. This does not mean that the Father somehow created the Son in time, in something like a physical conception or birth. The Son did not have a beginning. Rather, it describes the Son's eternal fromness in relation to the Father. And the subject of eternal generation is one of those discussions which takes place among Trinitarians who are all within the safety of the guardrails, but it is a discussion that takes place there. Not all Trinitarians would say, oh, I believe in eternal generation. But the Nicene Creed believed in eternal generation. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of the Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God, our very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made. Only begotten Son of the Father, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, means really God from the real God, begotten, not made or created. There wasn't some time when he came into being in eternal history. Here's the Westminster Confession of Faith. This is used by your Presbyterian brethren. And Brother Ryan will occasionally quote from the Westminster Confession. It's considered a sound document among evangelicals and Bible-believing Protestants. And here's what they say. In the unity of the Godhead, there be three persons of one substance, power, and eternity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. The Father is of none, neither begotten nor proceeding. The Son is eternally begotten of the Father, the Holy Ghost eternally proceeding from the Father and the Son. Now that is the teaching of church history right there, summed up in one great paragraph. But notice, the Son is eternally begotten of the Father. Now, can we find that in the Scriptures? Is there any basis for this? Well, some Christians say no. They would say, you don't have enough biblical evidence. And I would say, you know, it is kind of like hard to prove with a verse that says, with a lead pipe cinch, this is it. You're not looking at DNA evidence, okay? But it is an explanation that makes sense, and I'm going to show you some verses why I think it kind of adds up. 2 Corinthians 1:3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Does the word Father have meaning? Does the word Son have meaning? 2 Corinthians 11:31, the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. Or Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Or 1 Peter 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Or Revelation 1, 5, and 6 says it the other way around, Jesus Christ made us a kingdom, priest to His God and Father. So He's uniquely the Son of God. There is some way in which He comes from God, that God is His Father. Now, if God is the eternal Father, that must mean He has an eternal Son. Otherwise, He would not be the eternal Father. He would be a new dad in the scheme of things, as an eternal God would count time.
Or He would not be a father at all. Got to have some kind of offspring.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Here's John 1:14. Here's a different run at it. And the Word became flesh. Now, of course, we all know when it says the Word, it's referring to Jesus the Son, God expressing Himself. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father. Now, you could say, well, that's all incarnation. Well, there just seems to be an inescapable fromness here in this verse and others that seems to transcend more than just the fact that the Father sent the Son from heaven to earth. There just seems to be a little bit more there as you read the words and feel the words. Here is Hebrews 1:3. He is the radiance of the glory of God. He is the radiance of the glory of God. Here it is from the Amplified. He is the sole expression of the glory of God, the light being the outraying or radiance of the divine. Now, the word picture used for centuries among Christian theologians is, think of an eternal sun and a ray of light that eternally comes from the eternal sun. It's an eternal ray of light from an eternal sun. The light always comes from the source of light, but there was never a time when it began. There was never a time when the sun was turned on. So there was never a time when the ray of light started flowing, proceeding from the source of light. That's the word picture theologians have used. And this is the verse they're looking at. Hebrews 1:3 also says, He is the perfect imprint and very image of God's nature. Again, from the Amplified. It is an imprint, like the stamp of a die in making a coin. It presses down, it puts whatever image is going to be on the coin. So there is a die and a stampee. The Father is putting His imprint eternally in the Son. Here's John 5:26. This is considered one of the stronger pieces of biblical evidence in discussing eternal generation. For as the Father has life in Himself, so He has granted the Son also to have life in Himself. Now you might say, well, that's life to give away an eternal life in His saving mission. Okay, some think that. But these verses just keep adding up, is my take on it. People would say this is an eternal grant. Those who believe in eternal generation would say this figure of speech alludes to an eternal grant. There was never a beginning point. There will never be an end point. This is who God is and how God works. It's what He's like. Here's a couple of slides with paragraph summaries on this. If the Son became a Son at some point in time, then the Son isn't equal with the Father. Without the eternality of it, it all collapses. But if it is eternal, if it describes how the being of God, quote, works, then it is God revealing to us an insight into His eternal being. He wasn't obligated to tell us anything about it, but He gave us a few indications. It all adds up, this eternal generation thing. It all adds up. It explains the inescapable fromness you keep finding in Scripture, how the Son is from the Father. It helps explain the oneness of God, His unity, and completely annihilates tritheism or the persons being something more like triplets. Because if you have three there and there is nothing that binds them together, you just have three triplets who are really close with a telepathic bond or something that just think alike. It fits in with the mutual indwelling of the persons, and it fits in with inseparable operations. It just adds up and makes sense to me. But I don't think you have to adopt this view to be considered a Trinitarian. I don't think, you know, it's something we ought to kick you out of the church over. Here's how Augustine would define it. He used this phrase to communicate that the Father is the fountain of divinity from whom both the Son and the Spirit derive. In other words, in the DNA of God, the Father is the divine essence. We'll pick it up right here next week, same bat time, same bat station. Let's have prayer. Father, thank You for each person who's here. Help us to think about You better than we've ever thought about You before. And we admit, some of this, Father, are not things that we totally get. Some of the parts of it are saying, this is our best understanding looking at Scripture. But Father, You are worthy to be thought about. You are worthy of our interest. And we pray that You would bless our thinking about You, guide our thoughts, that we might understand You better and love You more than we ever have. In Jesus' name, amen.